Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to get into the 1958 prophecies this afternoon and talk a little bit about more about the book, The Way to Live, and some of the interesting information in there. Edward Albert Meyer is a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti, which is about 52 minutes east of Zurich. Lives in a beautiful area in Switzerland, very green in the summer, a lot of trees. There's a building there called the Semyase Silver Star Center. It's the headquarters for a group called FIGU, FIGU. They're a free community of interests. They work together with Billy to publish his written material, like his prophecies and his articles and his contact reports and his 40 books. So the amount of writing that this one man has done is kind of overwhelming. His contacts go back to, 1945. He was born right around 1938-39. I think he had six or seven siblings. He had contracted a deadly pneumonia when he was about 6 months old and just about died. His life was saved by an extraterrestrial man named Svoth. Svoth would later get into telepathic contact with Edward when he was a very young boy, and these telepathic contacts eventually led to face-to-face contacts where Billy was brought up in this ship. Svoth had a kind of a silvery pear-shaped craft which would land near the forested areas where Billy was growing up in Bulach, Switzerland. And young Edward Albert Meyer would be taken aboard the ship, and sometimes he would be flown high up into Earth orbit. And Svoth would tell Billy about his previous lives and what he had done in those former lifetimes, and he was told that he had been Enoch, the people we call today Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad, and that he had been a prophet and a teacher, and he had taught a universal teaching that these extraterrestrials are very aware of. It's called the teaching of the spirit, and it talks about creational natural laws, certain laws of nature that we can follow that will help our lives very much in terms of success and happiness. And first one of these laws is called the law of love. It's a love that's effective based on wisdom, and it's a very stable kind of love, not a romantic love, which the Meyer material calls a kind of false love. But the love that they talk about here is a love that's based on the understanding of the oneness of the universe and that we're connected to all things. And this kind of love is based on something called in the German Empfindung, or Empfindung, which is a fine, sensitive feeling that is related to your spiritual consciousness. Every human being has a material consciousness, which exists and consists of your subconsciousness, your unconsciousness, and your conscious mind, your personality, your intellect, but you also have a spiritual consciousness, which is related to this tiny bit of energy called the spirit form that's located in the center of your midbrain called the superior colliculus. That's the area that is related to sight. So when you do look into the eyes, in many ways you're looking into the spirit. And your spirit form, my spirit form, is very ancient. We've all lived many, many millions of years of physical lifetimes. The Meyer information explains we've lived 4 to 5 million years, typically the spirit forms on the earth, and those are relatively young spirit forms. There's a group of people here on the earth that have lived 8 to 12 million years in physical lifetimes. That's because in the very, very ancient past, there were extraterrestrial humans who lived on the earth. And these civilizations included Atlantis and Lemuria, which started about 130,000 years ago. Civilization started by a man named Pelagon about 150,000 years ago, who was a king of wisdom, who came from the Pleiades star system. The people from Atlantis and Lemuria came from closer star systems, and finally there was a group in the southwestern United States over 1 million years ago that destroyed each other in nuclear war. That's how we got the Death Valley and the Fire Valley in the southwest. So our Earth is very ancient. We've had human civilization on Mars and on another planet in our solar system called Melona. These two civilizations on these two planets ended in disasters. The planet of Melona was destroyed when its people basically moved or funneled an ocean into a giant volcano. They ended up destroying the planet. That planet became our asteroid belt, and the explosion of Melona also threw Mars out of its orbit. Some of the people from Mars managed to escape to the Earth. The spirit forms on Melona eventually moved into the band of energy around our here on the Earth. So, and people from these previous civilizations, Atlantis and Lemuria, Pelagon, and there were other civilizations, extraterrestrial civilizations, who came here about 20, I'd have to double check on the dates of that, 25 to 30,000 years ago, the Japanese and the Chinese came here. They lived on a world that, according to Meyer material anyway, that's on the other side of our galaxy. So the Earth is very ancient. The history we've been told is a watered-down version of the last 6,000 years. Unfortunately, the mainstream doesn't know who we are, doesn't know where we come from, and doesn't know the purpose of our life. And those answers, all those big answers to all those deep questions, are answered by the Meyer material. And there's a whole series of warnings that the Meyer material talks about as well that we're going to go over. And that deals with the 1958 prophecies, which are related to information that Billy got from two of his mentors, one man named Svath, who I started to tell you about, and another was a woman named Askett. Billy had meetings with these two people, Svath for 11 years, Askett for 11 years, and they taught him very many things related to ancient history and how the spirit reincarnates, and what the universal consciousness is, and all these important ideas that are no longer part of our society here on the earth. Svath told Billy when he was a very, very young boy that he would have a difficult life, that he would be facing all kinds of suffering, and people would try to kill him because of what he was saying, because he would tell them about something called the third millennium, which we're in now, and it's a time of confusion and maliciousness which will spread all over the earth, and it will lead to very many bad things, because mostly the people of the earth are living outside of these creational natural laws, the first of which we've discussed before and we talked about briefly tonight, the law of love. Not the sentimental false love of romance, but a love, a wisdom-conditioned love that understands that we're connected to all things and that everything in the universe, there's a oneness to everything in the universe. And the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation, and creation radiates love, and every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. Only the human has the ability to turn away from love and go his own way, so to speak. Other than that, all of creation follows creation's plan, which is a perfect plan that deals with certain laws, one of which is love. The second creational natural law is striving. And this is a law that will help you very much in your life if you learn to focus on working and striving as much as possible in whatever your vocation is and whatever your hobbies are. Focus on these very much and strive to improve at them. And try to focus on things that support you. Continue to work, because believe it or not, your work will produce more happiness than your idleness. Idleness is a big distraction and a big problem with the people of the earth, because we don't understand that striving is part of your evolution. All plants, all animals strive to survive. You have to continue to be diligent in your striving, and that will keep things balanced and happy in your own life. The second or the third creational natural law that is very, very important is the law of harmony, that tells us that we have to think in a neutral, positive way all the time. That means not real positive and definitely not negative. And you have to continually monitor your thoughts so they hit that sweet spot right in there on neutral, positive. Because good thoughts lead to good feelings lead to good habits. You'll develop the habits for success, which will lead to good circumstances in your life. So these are the three creational natural laws. One of the other important laws is the law of reincarnation, which we talked about a little bit today, just briefly, that you have a spirit form. It's very ancient. It has incarnated, although you may not remember, millions of times here on the earth. And each one of these lifetimes adds a little wisdom to your spirit form. And the spirit form takes the mentality of the previous life into the spirit realm. That consciousness is processed in something called the overall consciousness block on the spiritual side. And all of those experiences and things that you've learned are kind of processed into something called essences. And these essences are what will strengthen your spirit form, make your spirit form wiser. And then that should take about a lifetime and a half. So if you've lived 100 years, you should be in the spiritual realm about 150 years while all this processing goes on. Unfortunately, because we've upset the balance of nature, there are too much people, way, way too many people on the earth, and this pulls spirit forms out of the spiritual realm too soon. And they go back into bodies before they've even processed all the information from their previous lifetimes. This causes problems related to maleness, for example. One of the reasons for the decline in really male men is because of the forced incarnation too early. The other thing that can happen is too much of a dependence on parents. And this is also because of spirit forms coming in too early. So we've upset the balance of nature, not only in the physical, but in the spiritual realms. And in 1958... Billy had a whole set of warnings that he published to all of the governments of Europe to tell them about what was going on. And the contents of this brochure was already written by 1958, and it was constructed out of the revelations from Sfas and Asket, and whereby the letter of August 25th, 1958, it was sent as a warning to all the governments of Europe. However, they never answered, except in silence. They were clothed in silence, as Billy describes it. I want to continue here. The prophecies and predictions arose from the results of the calculations and the looking ahead, as well as out of statements from the Playar and Svath, as well as Asket. Now, Asket was from a parallel universe to ours. There are many universes. I think the Meyer information says there are 10 to the 49th power universes, and every universe has its own universal awareness, and impersonal spiritual energy, kind of a supreme intelligence of that universe. And the supreme intelligence of any universe is a impersonal spiritual energy, not a Heavenly Father. So you are truly responsible for yourself. This impersonal spiritual energy who radiates love, much like the sun radiates light and heat. The light and heat that comes from the sun that supports our lives is not a personal favor or an example of kind of personal love on the part of the sun, the star at the center of our solar system. It's just a function of what that star is and does. And it's the same way with the love of creation. The universal consciousness is what the Meyer material calls a Wesenheiten. It's kind of a neutral, positive entity. It builds and develops universes as a part of its own evolution. It's neither good nor evil. It really doesn't have a personality the way we think of a personality at all, or it doesn't even have a thought process in the way we envision thinking. It's this neutral, positive entity, but it expresses its love through the construction of all its creations. And the visible expression of the love of creation is the splendor of nature. And one of the great prophecies and one of the great warnings in 1958 is the way we are inadvertently, and I think it's inadvertent, we're destroying this beauty, this splendor of nature because of the high population. And what we're doing is destroying the forests, and that's one of the big problems, because the forests are the moderators of weather. And because our forests are getting smaller and smaller, the climate grows more and more extreme. And if you look at Europe and the world climatic conditions, we can see all varieties of stormy weather are coming into being. Monstrous material damage will result, it says here in the Meyer prophecies, to land, houses, and other buildings, to streets, to mountains, to railway lines, to wild streams, to grassland streams, rivers and lakes. There will be many human lives to mourn as the result of the upheaval and storms caused by the climactic climate, because already in the next decades, a rapidly climbing climatic warming and climatic alteration will result and produce enormous snowfalls. And we saw enormous snowfalls this winter. We saw enormous snowfalls last winter. Hail, it says. We've seen incredibly huge hail in Texas, tremendous damage done there, monstrous masses of rains, gales, typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, and other storms, as well as droughts, thunderstorms. And here it says forest fires in unimagined quantities. And we've seen the forest fires, the incredible forest fires, and I tracked them for a while. It was just becoming overwhelming. The amount of forest fires we're having in the western United States. And it talks about all of these disasters tearing over Europe and the entire world, provoking gigantic damage. Another thing that we will see is that wild streams and grasslands will become ripping rivers. Rivers will become raging currents, whereby wild waters will breach every bank and provoke mighty inundations and devastate the land and destroy many people's acquisitions. And one of the problems is we're getting rid of the wetlands, and the wetlands need to be there. And then what we do is we dam up rivers and we create these unnatural large lakes, and the wetlands that would have been downstream become populated. So now we've got a situation where people are in danger, and it's a precarious situation. So this will continue to get worse, as the Meyer material says, and it says that overpopulation is a factor behind all of this evil. And with overpopulation, you destroy the forests again, the moderators of the weather. You destroy the wetlands, because I mean, there's a tremendous surface area of the earth that is unpopulated, but it will always remain unpopulated because people will always go to where the fresh water is and where the better climates are. It's just nature, and they have to go to where there are jobs, and they can't go to the South Pole where there's 6 million square miles of ice. No one's going to live there. The other bad thing that is going on is the desertification, and that's because of the way we graze our livestock, and it creates deserts. So much of Africa is turning into a desert. Okay, I'm kind of rolling past this a lot. Again, it says the primal forests will be greedily destroyed for profit, and the earth's resources will be irresponsibly exploited. And we talk about the pollutions again from fossil fuel engines. But let me read a little bit of what Billy said in 1958. My eyes and my mind see things of the future, which will take place from today, the year 1958, and therefore will be. Therefore, I see and comprehend things through the passage of time, up to the most distant future that still remain hidden from the earth people. Many years will come to pass before my prophecies and predictions have been fulfilled, and a new and better time begins. Well, we're there already. Until then, however, it will still far, very far, and much misery, as well as evil, wars, terror, chaos, catastrophes, will have broken over humanity and the entire world. Okay, here's something that's happened now within the past few years that really I never really noticed happening before. But until now, gigantic crowds of religious believers wander over the earth, as we see the refugees from Syria. And also in the future, uncountable numbers of believers of unbelievably many lunatic sects will trample the surface of the earth, whereby some sect gurus will drive their believers into mass suicide and murder. And we've seen the cults that have done the mass suicides. I can't remember the names off the top of my Jonestown was one of them, maybe. They will spread over the earth like poisonous mushrooms, and their delusions will peal like a trumpet call over the entire earth. Sectarianism will bear bad fruit and will cost many lives through murder and suicide, and also through politics and power lust. In diverse countries, hundreds of thousands of people will be murdered, as in the Soviet Union, which will be dissolved no later than 1991, and in the West Germany, which, however, will only exist until the late 80s of this century. Thereafter, Germany will be reunified, whereby, in contrast, an Iraq war will be led through the United States of America. And then it talks about the second Iraq war, and they talk about, you know, the moon landings, one of which was hoaxed, according to Meyer materials. So That was just extremely brief, and I didn't but barely scratch the surface of these prophecies, and I'm sure I'll come back to them in the future. The Meyer material has much to say about what the future will be here on the earth, and some of it isn't as pleasant as you and I would probably like it to be. So anyway, Billy had these original meetings with Svath, and then after about 11 years, Svath told Billy that he was about to die, and Billy was told he would get a new teacher, this woman named Asket from the Tao universe, as we've said before. And Billy was picked up, that would have been probably around 57 or so, probably just before these prophecies. He was picked up by a robotic craft that Asket had brought to Switzerland to pick him up, and he was flown to Jordan. Asket's ship landed in Jordan and picked him up. And they both went via Asket's ship to Egypt, where Asket and Billy went far below the Giza Plateau into these 73,000-year-old structures that exist under the Great Pyramid. And that's where Billy saw the Giza intelligences, who are often called the Befath. And Billy learned how that these extraterrestrials had used religion to kind of gain control of the people of the earth, and how the Giza intelligences affected even modern history, where they affected Hitler. Hitler would have not been the monster that he turned out to be if it were not for a man named Hermann Steinschneider, who was associated with these Giza intelligences. And Hermann Steinschneider was the guy that was from the Thule Society that got Hitler to go into this delusional state where he thought he would and should conquer the world. Otherwise, Hitler had a very great potential, and the Plaron himself had impulsed him to be kind of a leader. And he would have been a very good leader if it not were for these extraterrestrial humans that were actually a part of a Plaron, and they had gone rogue thousands and thousands of years ago. And I think that they're related to a individual in the ancient past called Eris the Barbarian. One of the things, after the contacts with Asket, Billy had about 11 years of a normal life, and then he started to have contacts with a woman named Sannyasa. And most people that are somewhat familiar with the Meyer case know about the contacts with Sannyasa, which really lasted for 3 or 4 years only. But Billy learned a lot about our ancient history, for example. And he learned about Eris the Barbarian and Atlantis and Lemuria, and how Eris and his son had conquered Hyperborea, and they had gotten the great war going between Atlantis and Lemuria, and how that basically that war had destroyed all civilization on the earth and basically sent the earth into a very bad state, a very bad time. The ecosystem was almost destroyed, and the people that survived, they forgot who they were, they forgot their great history, and after many, many generations, they were living as very primitive people. These Giza intelligences showed up on the earth and started to be tyrants, and the rest is history, as they say. So, the Meyer material has much to say about our ancient history, much to say about what's going to happen in our future. And what I'd like to do is take a quick break, and then we'll get on with The Way to Live and some of the things we've been learning from that book. Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm going to pick up reading a bit in The Way to Live, The Art zu Leben, another very fascinating book by Edward Albert Meyer. Page 12 here says, in the same form in which the human being saws and files and chisels and polishes him or herself, he or she forms his life and destiny. We form our own life and our own destiny by our thoughts. And out of this, our thoughts come the circumstances of our life. And one of the things that you should try to be aware of is that being idle means to veer off course in the life and to be estranged from its dignity, to neglect the advancement into the endlessness and to understand the sense of existence. And what the Meyer material says is one of the laws of nature is striving. So if you're idle, of course, there's time for rest, but if you're idle and you spend too much time in idleness, it will lead to you being unhappy ultimately. So your focusing on your work will lead to your own happiness. And I'll read just this short piece. It says, when a human being works, then he or she is like cosmic harmony which undulates through everything, which as if through a soft whispering lets everything vibrate in love and joy. So we should focus on our work. And once the human being consciously, volitionally takes the work and all the toil of the progress upon him or herself, and the recognition of the necessity for evolution, then he or she has truly grasped a part of the sense of life and recognized life as a gift and truly loves it. So understanding the importance of your focus on your work, it will bring you much happiness when you do that. And to understand this, this is one of the great secrets of life. It says here, toil is the price of evolution, and it means when a human being loves the life through toil, then he or she is familiar with one of the innermost secrets of life. And that is one of the secrets of life, is that in order to be happy, you have to be focused, and you have to be working on things. This is a creational natural law of striving. And all animals and plants have to do this. All of our evolution is built on work. And it says, all work is life made visible, love and joy made visible. And it says that people who can't find happiness in their work should be separated from society, and that they are a burden on society. So it's something if we're having trouble focusing on our work, maybe we need to change our work. We need to do something so that we can find happiness in our work. And it says, work fulfills the life while idleness only creates uncalm, unpeace, and devolution. Idleness allows the truth and the knowledge to go unheard. And idleness conceals the sense of life from the human being. So it's interesting, the secrets of life, many of the secrets of life come out in the Meyer information. And it talks about, on this next page, every 10 years what we're supposed to learn. And it says at 10 years old, human being senses turn to learning. At 20 years old, you embrace the power of your own ability. At 30 years old, you become firm in your thinking and action. At 40 years old, you have left your doubts regarding the truth and the knowledge behind you. At 50 years old, you start to learn about the creational natural laws and you follow them. At 60 years old, you start to open your consciousness to the truth. And at 70 years old, you it says a human being can accede to his or her wishes without overstepping the limits of that which is right and decent. So it's very interesting. It says patience is an important virtue which the human being must learn and which arises out of wisdom, for which reason it means that truthful patience is reserved only for the wise ones. So let's talk about wisdom a little bit. I had mentioned about Billy's meetings with Sannyasi, and that she had talked, one thing she told Billy was that love and wisdom go together, and that the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. And when we use the term creation, generally we're talking about the universal consciousness, the supreme intelligence of the universe. Well, it's also good to know about the structure of our universe, and that there are seven belts in our universe. They're concentric circles, you can think of them as, and they counter-rotate around one another. And there's a central core of creation. The second layer out is called the Earth core belt. The third is called the Earth space belt. And the fourth belt is the material belt, where the suns and the galaxies and the meteors and the comets exist. Then there's this transformation belt. And I think that's where matter is transferred in energy and where energy comes back into matter. And then the sixth belt is called the expansion belt sometimes. The final belt is the displacement belt. And that's the kind of shields us against other universes, so to speak. The universe resides in an area, in a larger area called the absolute absolutum, where all the other universes are also in existence. Our sister parallel universe is called the Tao universe. It sits right adjacent to us. And these extraterrestrials called the Timmers, they've learned to go from one universe to the other. There's a belt. They've learned to actually transfer and go through that separation between the universes. And some other interesting things about our universe is that our universe is at the very beginning stage of its evolution. And that's why we have a material belt. And that's the first step in any evolution of any universe, is this stage where there's material life. Another side point related to this is that just the age of the Meyer spirit form, and that he's lived not only on the Earth, but on worlds and other solar systems in our galaxy and in other galaxies. Our galaxy right now has about 587 billion suns and planets, 7 million of which solar systems produce higher life. And there are some 2,630,000 highly developed human civilizations, the Meyer material says, and there are there's a tremendous amount of 6 to 7 trillion human civilizations in our universes, in our total universe. Now, another very confusing thing, at least in my perspective, is our universe has different space-time configurations, which you can think of different planes of existence, different dimensions. And so the Pleiaren, for example, reside in a slightly different dimension than we do. There's a difference in time there. Exactly how that works, I couldn't tell you yet. It's a very, very interesting thing. So the matter itself in our universe is in a constant transformational state within the material belt, and is therefore subject to growth and disintegration processes. For this reason, matter can never be or become as old as the complete universe. Matter never gets more than about 40 to 45 billion years old in a solid state. And by the way, our universe right now is 46 trillion years old. And that's a tremendous, tremendous thing indeed. Let me talk a little bit about the consciousness block. And this is something that I talked about quickly before when we were discussing reincarnation. Let me read what it says here. It says, at this point, a very important and often neglected factor regarding reincarnation or rebirth must be wisely scrutinized. The spirit form, which in this area, this is called a minuscule part of creation, and every human being has the task at rebirth to incarnate into a new human body. It is well known that at the time of a person's death, the spirit form leaves the body to spend a certain amount of time in the spheres of beyond. There it has the task of absorbing all accumulated knowledge from past lives. And that's what I was talking about earlier. During a new reincarnation, the newly procreated growing human embryo is reanimated on the 21st day. So the spirit form comes in to the child on the 21st day. The reincarnating spirit form that has returned from the beyond to its temporal life. This process, this entry of the spirit form and the entry of the collective consciousness block that had remained in the accumulated levels, is no personality-related rebirth. This renewed reincarnation has absolutely nothing to do any longer with the material consciousness of the previous body. So every time the spirit form comes in, it brings a new consciousness in. Locked away in your subconscious is the memory of your predecessor personalities, which will influence you and help you along in the new life. So after the spirit form and the collective consciousness block have reincarnated, the personality of the new human being is formed anew due to the old impulses from the spiritual realms of the reanimating spirit form and the knowledge from previous lives, among others. So you're the new spirit form is being, the new personality is being formed. Part of the process also, thinking, feeling, emotions, and actives of the new individual. Therefore, every human being shapes his or her entirely new and individual personality after the new reincarnation. This signifies that no connection or responsibility of any type can be in effect retroactively towards the person's personality, deeds, and manner of thinking. So there's really no karma, the Meyer material says. There's really no karma that you're not going to suffer in this life for something that happened in the previous life anyway. I want to talk a little bit about evolution and all the different kinds of evolution, because we here on the earth have, in the human form, we have what the evolution of the consciousness. Human life forms only. Now, the creation has a spirit energetical evolution. It evolves differently. Another difference in the concept of the universal consciousness as opposed to the idea of a Heavenly Father or a God. The universal consciousness is evolving. It's improving. You play a part in that evolution through the evolution of your consciousness. Life forms like animals, have an instinct evolution. Your cat, your dog, the horses, the wolves, the deer, they have an instinct evolution. So they evolve. There's an impulse evolution that plants have. They evolve as well. Sand, stones, crystals, glasses, liquids have an energy evolution. There's a microevolution associated with bacteria. And there's the higher animals, like apes, dolphins, horses, even your dogs and cats, sheep, elephants, camels, cattle, bears, they have also an intelligence evolution. So the animals evolve as well through many, many lifetimes, over millions of years even. Those spirit forms come back into the kitten, come back into the puppy, come back into the little deer, and they live again in a new lifetime where they get the chance for intelligence evolution, instinct evolution. Only the human being has consciousness evolution. Now, that's something I'm still trying to sort out exactly what that means. We have a awareness that the animals don't have. And our spirit form has a level of consciousness to it as well. But I don't think either our material or consciousness or our spiritual consciousness is quite as aware as we think it is. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the term God, because the Meyer information says it really comes from an ancient Lyrian term. The Lyrians were here first. Remember, I talked about those previous civilizations, but I never mentioned the Lyrians, which were here millions of years ago, as well as, I believe, about 230,000 years ago. I have to check my notes again on that. The Pleiaren and the Timurs descend from the Lyrians, as well as many people here on the earth. Many of the Lyrians propagated, colonized our universe. They mixed with peoples on other worlds. They conquered people in other worlds. They came to our galaxy from another galaxy. They entered into the Lyra Vega constellation about 25 million years ago, and they had people at very high evolutionary levels called Kings of Wisdom, or JHWH, the term Ishwish. Some of the Kings of Wisdom talk about in the Meyer material are Ptah, Pelagon, Jehovan, Atlant, Eris. There are the term Ishrish, which is used for women. And these are human beings that are living in the last stages of the human material existence. In the fifth stage of evolution, we're living in what they call creational wisdom. In the sixth stage, we start to evolve into half-spiritual forms. The Ishwish are human beings like everybody else, but they have a much higher level of consciousness and spiritual development. And the term JHWH is related to various designations like God, Yahweh, Yahev, Yahovah, Adonai, Elohim, Lord, Eternal One. All of these terms are related to our notion of God now. There's a book called The Omphalan Murado, the OM, that I have bits and pieces of. Somehow I got it. I don't even remember how. Let me read a little bit of Canon 10. It has some very interesting information in it. It says, the JHWH, the Ishwish, the King of Wisdom, hath not ordained one of his helpers, who by earth humans would be called watcher or angel to bring the scripture of the teaching. Their life would be in danger because they are of a different nature and perception, and the vibration of ignorance of the earth humans would kill them. So the king of wisdom is very vulnerable to the negative vibrations of the earth humans' thinking. In fact, the Pleiaren have to wear a kind of protective electronic device to be in the presence of earth humans only for 30 minutes or so. With Billy, because the spirit form is so ancient, they don't have to worry about that. There was an extraterrestrial group that was here for a while called the Hasters, who were closer to our level of evolution, maybe only 1,700 years ahead of us, who could tolerate our vibrations for, I don't remember, 15, 17, 20 hours, something like that. But because these kings of wisdom are so sensitive in their perceiving, they're susceptible to these vibrations of evil and these vibrations of negativity, which are part of the earth humans. Now, have you ever been around a person that you just felt these extremely negative, evil vibes from? And you didn't want to be around them very long. You wanted to get away from them. Well, that's the way. Imagine you're millions of years ahead of someone in evolution, how you would feel. And the earth humans would also worship and adore them, although they are not creation to which alone worship and adoration is due. Therefore, the Ishwish and the prophet are chosen, those who are mediators and proclaimers in their own recognition of duty between the truth and between all generations. So, just a brief little bit I wanted to talk about the King of Wisdom. Now, ask it. Now, Billy's second contact, very, very interesting. Hello, Sloan and Gemini, and we've got several guests, and I just want to say ha. Thank you for all the nice stuff in the chat room. The Om Fala Murata, I was talking about ask it. Earth humanity has achieved a high standing of technical evolution, however, really only in regard to the technical and that which pertains to a purely material understanding. Now, this is the big problem on the earth, that our evolution of the spirit and our evolution of consciousness is, as Ask It says, maliciously disadvantaged. And that's why I think we're so easy. We destroy our environment so easily. Now, one of the things that the Ishwish would do when they were here on the earth in the past is when they taught people, they would take them out into nature to teach them. And that's understandable, I think. And as Billy, as I always quote, all of nature and its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. Its laws are so wonderfully arranged that people everywhere come up at the radiating love of creation. But the problem is, if you close your senses, and you can close your senses to this radiating love, you will not be able to see how everything is arranged so wonderfully, and that you will not understand how you can perceive the majestic love of creation at every moment and every place. You come to the understanding of the radiating love of creation through your own efforts, through reasonable logic, not through belief, through the powers of observation. Now, in Canon 52 in the OM, it talks about how the human, the earth human, should learn the difference between God and creation. It says here, thus may the word be directed to the human of earth in the name of creation, the name the wise, the righteous, in that he knows the truth and his path of life he then adapts. And it says here, I'll just read it to you. You make your own, you had to decide for yourself whether this is valuable to you or not. It says, the gods of the earth were human beings. They came from the depths of the universe, from foreign systems, galaxies, and worlds. They elevated themselves on the earth unrightfully above the humans, the earth humans, named themselves God, the creator. They created sects and religions, and that the earth human may be dependent and faithful to them. And they demanded that the human worship them, the gods, as creator. Remember I talked about the Giza intelligences. That's kind of what they're referring to here. Thus the human of earth may be enslaved and dependent on the gods for all time. And each god created a separate religion and set himself as creator above the humans who faithfully became slaves to him. And many of the gods were degenerated and malicious and obsessed by greed for power and all evil. They declared the laws of death, punishment, and destruction, and they murdered whenever their mood had them do so. So these are some eye-opening statements from the Meyer Information, very controversial. The Meyer Information explains there's a universal consciousness, and this universal consciousness is not a heavenly father, as our religions have said. It's described here in the as the Zohar. The beginning of the material universe is described this way. It says, in the beginning was the egg form of the creation, spiral brought forth through the idea of original creation. The creation spiral was spiritual, original form, tiny and only the size of the flea. But in the spiral rotated and pulsed the spirit energy form of the emerging creation, forceful and will towards expanding. The energy form grew and became a bolid power, exploded in blazing lightning fire, a Zohar between the countless universes of absolute space. And you notice it talked about the spiral arms. You see, all of creation has these repeating patterns. The spiral of the galaxy, the spiral of the DNA within the human being, the spiraling of the seashell. All the circulatory systems of mammals have this branching structure to a circulatory system. The branching structure can be seen in plants and trees, can be seen in the lightning as it goes through the sky. You see, really, all of nature, all of the creation are a series of repeating patterns. And you can see the repeating patterns of the mountains in these triangular shapes. And you can see some of those same shapes in the structure of ice crystals or in the structure of snowflakes. You see these repeating patterns all over nature. You see the rotation pattern, the rotation of the electrons around the nucleus. You see the rotation of the planets around the stars. You see the rotation around of the solar system around the galaxies. All of creation is one. That's the oneness of the universe. And you can see it by its patterns. I thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.